Hi, and welcome to Northwest Book Talk, where we explore the people behind book stories and the creative life. I'm your host, Patty Grasher. Today, we're stepping into the world of local journalism with Monica Spikerman, a feature writer for the Columbia newspaper. Now, unlike many journalists who follow a traditional path into reporting, Monica began as a newsroom assistant, and she worked her way into feature writing, where she discovered telling stories about people, communities, and everyday life was something that she really liked to do. So, Monica believes that the human interest element is what makes readers care about a story. Facts are still important, but it's often the people behind those facts who make a story memorable. So we'll talk today about her unusual career path, how she finds stories, what makes a compelling feature article, and why local storytelling still matters. So welcome, Monica, to the program.
Thank you so much, Patty. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start from the very beginning. You did start as a reporter, and you told me that was like not even on your right radar. So how did you get going with this?
Well, I needed a job. So I applied for a job as a newsroom assistant at the Columbian. I did have some adjacent journalism experience. I had been the editor of the Daily Insider for a little while, which was a local website published by Nancy Bacon, just about local goings on. And I was the editor of a website called North Bank Now for several years, which was published by the Vancouver Business Journal. And it was just, once again, about local events in Vancouver. When I saw the newsroom assistant job at the Columbian that was focused on event listings for the weekend section and occasional writing, I thought, I know about events in Clark County. I've been covering them for many years, and I could probably do that. Of course, I had no idea what the job actually entailed. It was a lot of compiling event listings. And at that time, we did not only Clark County, but Portland, too. And I don't know, I want to say I did like 1,000 event listings every week. But yeah, that's what I started out doing. It was just a lot of data entry, a lot of typey. And that's exactly what I thought I would be doing for years and years until the pandemic came. And instead of firing me, which they could have done because they didn't, well, not firing me. So I worked on the weekend section for several years. And then when the pandemic came, there was no weekend section. There were no events happening. There was nothing. And I was pretty sure I would lose my job. But at that time, the editors thought that the pandemic would only last, you know, for a few months. They didn't want to have to retrain somebody else. So my editor, Aaron Middlewood, kept me on and it had me write feature stories and basically lighthearted articles, keeping up people's spirits. And every week we'd brainstorm ideas for things that I could write. And she said, hey, why don't you do like a tongue-in-cheek article about what readers can do with all the food that they've stockpiled in their pantries. So my first article in that vein was just an article about different tuna recipes. But I wrote it, you know, I realized this was not a serious news feature. So wrote it with a sort of humorous bent. But readers really responded to it. I guess everyone had a lot of tuna. So I just kept writing every Wednesday. So I had, at some point, they made me a columnist. It was called Monica's Playful Pantry, and That went for several years, and I sort of gradually shifted from the third person news voice to it was very first person, very friendly, very much, I'm going to take you in my kitchen with me. And readers really engaged with that. I think the personal part of it and the ad admission that I was a complete amateur and half the stuff I did ended in just absolute disaster. And I think people could really relate to that. I guess that was the first time I realized, wow, people are really reading the newspaper. They actually read what I write. And that was, I think, probably in all the years I've worked at the Columbian, the relationships that I built with readers over that column, that was the most satisfying part of what I've done.
So let's talk about where you're at now. So now you're like a feature story writer. And how do you find your stories? How did you get started doing that, just the features?
Well, it doesn't take 40 hours a week to write a cooking column. Turns out it only takes about a day and a half. So the rest of the time, my editor just had me either covering breaking feature stories, or most of the time it was something we call enterprise stories, which means it's an idea that you come up with on your own, you pitch it, and your editor either says yes or no. Honestly, that could be anything. Our editor, Aaron, always said, if you are curious about something, your readers are going to be curious too. So I got a lot of ideas just from getting out and about in Clark County. I love talking to business owners. Anything that I heard of from friends or read online about interesting things happening, curious subcultures in Clark County that I'd never heard of, anything actually kind of weird or unusual, or just questions I had about people who lived different lives from me. Like those were the articles that I pitched, and those are my favorite kind. I mean, I think it just for me, finding something that makes me curious and finding someone to talk to answer my questions. Like I was curious about turkey vultures. So I talked to a local bird expert, and he was extremely happy to answer all my questions. And I learned fascinating facts about turkey vultures. And that was just really a random thing that I was wondering as I was driving home and I watched the sky overhead.
So let me ask a question now about, I work with authors all the time, and of course they always want to get featured and stuff like that. So what would you say an author would need to do to get featured? Is it like it's just you find the stories, or do you take people that, connect with you, or how would an author try to get into a feature story?
There would have to be something noteworthy about that person's background or story, or about the book itself, how the book came into being, or especially if there's some kind of local element to it. If there's a strong connection to Clark County, yeah, that's a huge plus. Like, for example, I interviewed Sue Dockstader, who published a children's book about the adventures of Henry the Field Mouse, which was actually written by her mother, but it had that story had the local element because Sue lives in Camas, but it also had this wonderful multi-generational angle to it. working with Sue's mother, who lives in England, actually. Then Sue figured out how to publish these stories, how to put them into book format and publish these stories. And then Sue's daughter actually traveled to England to help Sue's mother sell books at local book fairs. And so it just had this wonderful kind of, there's a family story to it, not just the fact that she published this book.
Can you tell me a little bit how the Columbian keep going?
Well, I'm not qualified to answer questions about the business end of it or the strategy end of it. My only focus is the newsroom, and from that end, I can tell you that I've never worked with a more dedicated group of people who care more with a stronger ethical code, who just work incredibly hard to tell local stories, to shine a light on injustice where possible, and also to shed light on the wonderful good news happening in Clark County. And I think that's my role with the feature stories. It's, my stuff isn't doom and gloom. It's not, my stories are not sad stories. I think at their heart, they're stories about joy and beauty and the unexpectedly wonderful ways that people can delight and surprise you.
So when you talked about the stories that you did, like with the cooking stories, right? You said those took a day and a half. So
Yeah.
what's your time period for writing a feature story? Because that's a lot more in depth.
Oh, it's quite varied, but we have a quick turnaround on most pieces. I will. Most pieces are ready, and I mean from start to finish with photographs and art and any follow-up calls and plus the writing. And for me, it's 2 to 3 days, although sometimes I have a few hours to write a story. But sometimes it can take longer because it's hard to get a hold of sources. Or, for example, I wrote an article about Scottish dance classes. I had to allow time to go and take the class. I wrote an article about sound baths, and I went and I took a sound bath. I had a sound bath myself. So you have to allow time to sometimes do the activity. And in that case, it can take longer. It can take a week or 2, but I would say 2 weeks at the outset. Most articles are written in 1 to 3 days.
So that's kind of leading me to wonder, when you have those longer stories, do you have like two or three stories going at once to kind of fill in any,
Always.
always?
Always. Yes.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
that's definitely something I had to learn because I'm not a multitasker at all. I like to focus on one thing at a time, but in order to keep up with deadlines, you have to have several things cooking at the same time, maybe 5 different things. And then every time I finish one thing, I have a long, long list of articles that I want to get to. And features is also often driven by there are events coming up, things that are connected to a date, like the book fair article that I will hopefully file this afternoon. That has to be published by a certain date. So yeah, and there are always things on my list that oh, this next thing is coming up, this next fair or festival, this next art show. So yeah, it's kind of a mix of things that aren't time sensitive and things that are that have to be published by a certain date.
So you've done an amazingly number of articles. So what are some of your favorite articles?
I really enjoyed profiling Elliot Smith, who is the locally known as the patron saint of knives. I wrote about him in 2024. At the time, he estimated that he sharpened 17,000 knives per year, which works out to about 46 knives per day. And I mean every day of the year, every single day. He was such a compelling figure. I expected the article to be more of a straight business profile, like here's a guy and he sharpens knives. But he was very philosophical about knife sharpening, and he talked about how it transformed his life. He was working as a hospital security guard, and it was ruining his health and well-being, and he needed something else to do. So he just grabbed some knives and started sharpening. And in the search to perfect his craft, he discovered the meditative quality of the process of knife sharpening. And I just thought it was a beautiful story about a very interesting human who has spent the last many years perfecting a very specific thing and how he found the beauty in that thing.
So, Monica, let's go into what's a typical day like for you in the newsroom?
Well, no 2 days are really the same, but I am a creature of habit and I like routine. So for myself, the first thing I do when I come into the newsroom to kind of wake my brain up is sort of more administrative clerical things. I also handle the Columbian's free event calendar. So there's always something new to post. We have like a pending file. Anyone can submit an event to the Columbian, and we have a pending file. So I'll go through the pending file and post those things. And then I manage two inboxes, my own and the features inbox. And I'll go through those emails and flag anything that I think needs to be posted or is a good idea for a story. And then usually I have something that probably needs to be filed that day. And so the very first thing I do is procrastinate. I get a cup of coffee. I get up. I talk to somebody else in the newsroom. I check the calendar to see if any more events have come in. But eventually I do get writing. Some of the shorter stories are obviously easier. I have a Try This, which is a very short story, kind of a roundup of upcoming happenings that I post every week. I do the out and about newsletter. So those smaller things are easier for me to kind of get my brain chugging. Don't tell my editors, but I don't feel like I reach peak writing time until after lunch, and that's when my brain really kicks in and I feel like I can think the big thinky thoughts and, type large swaths of text. I feel like I do my best work actually from 2 to 5 and those hours. So if my work day can be 2 to 5, like that would be ideal.
Yeah, so what's it like to submit a story and then do you just kind of that's it and you don't worry about it till you hear back from it, or do you ever kind of like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do if they don't accept it? I got to start all over.
Well, I've never filed a story and the editors say we're not going to run that. I mean, that happens to decide whether a story is worthy, that happens early on in the process. So there's never any surprises after I filed it. Editors usually know exactly when it's going to run. They know what the angle of the story is. They know basically what it's going to say. After I file the article, the editors need to edit it, and then they send it along to the copy desk. The copy desk lays it out. They choose photos. They write the headline usually. And then it does come back to me one last time for proofs. And then that's kind of my last chance to change any wordings or redo the captions. Sometimes I'll do some very panicked last minute fact checking, but then after I sign off on it, then I really try not to think about it anymore after that point, and I just move on to the next thing.
What is your word? Do you have like a word limit or like you have to fill a certain space, right? So they're like, you have to have.
No, that's actually something I had to adjust to when I came to work in the newsroom. It's we don't pay attention to word counts. It's column inches that really matter. And most of my stories are in the 25, 30, 35 range. Sometimes I'll have a larger story, 50 or 60 column inches. And I, as for me personally, I always write my articles in Word. I use a particular font, a particular font size, and a certain, I set my margins in a certain way. So I know when I get to this point on the second page, like that's about when I need to wrap things up.
So that's pretty cool. So you're just kind of almost not robotic, but you've got a system that helps you stay focused and kind of connected with what you have to do.
Yes, I
So,
have a
yeah.
system. Let's say I have a system.
That sounds good. We all like to sound like we have a like we know what we're doing, right?
Right.
So let's talk about, so you've been doing this for so long. How has this helped you perceive how S Southwest Washington is as a community and from the standpoint of writing about it?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I grew up here. But I also lived in Southern California for many, many years, and then I came back. And so I feel like my point of view is both insider and outsider. What I realized after living in Los Angeles County for so many years is that Clark County is such a beautifully cohesive place. The communities are strong. The people care. They're so invested in local politics and the school board and city council. I just think that's such a wonderful thing, spending so many years in a large city where, to the average person, it feels like nobody really cares that much, or even if they cared, they wouldn't know where to start. And I actually love that people are so committed to buying local, shopping local. And one of my favorite kinds of stories is, I call it the local person does thing, where we have somebody from Clark County who has gone on to do something famous or fascinating. And people really love that. People here are very proud of where they're from. It might feel like we're disconnected right now, and some of us on opposite sides of a chasm, but the fact is that, as I've said, this is one of the most cohesive places that I've ever lived. And in that, we're unified by the fact that everybody really cares about this place that we call home.
So, can you tell me, has a story that you've ever started gone in a different direction and like really surprised you how it ended up?
Sometimes that does happen, but I would say what happens more often is that I change in the course of writing a story because I come to understand the person or the subject in a way that I wasn't expecting to when I started. I think the best example of this for me is this is one of the first feature stories that I wrote. I covered a woman in Ridgefield named Rochelle Kelly, who has an Instagram channel called The Rat Stooges, and a TikTok channel too. She currently has 53,000 followers, and this is content that's just about her rats. Her rats are real social media stars, and this article was just so enchanting. And I had preconceived notions of what owning a lot of rats would be like, or what rats would be like, but I had no idea. And this is, and since I started writing feature stories during the pandemic, I mostly interviewed people over the phone at home. But this is one of the first articles that, I put on my mask and I went out to her house and I met her and I spent some time with her rats. And I have to say, they charmed me. Their little personalities. She had kind of a rat castle set up in one of her rooms, and it was so clean and cheerful and bright. And oh my gosh, those little rats, I just fell in love with them. And it wasn't really until I met her and I saw her in person and I met her rats that I all of a sudden understood, oh, this is why she has thousands and thousands of followers, because these rats are really something special.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. So, I don't know. I should comment on that, but I'm always afraid. I actually like rats myself because I remember when I was like a kid or whatever, I was out in the just sitting outside and this pack rat ran up my back from my and onto my head and onto my roof, and I just thought it was cool. It was neat, but I think rats have a personality. Monica, it's been great having you on the program. I'm excited about the article you're doing for us, the Northwest Book Fair, and that's how we kind of made this connection, which is great. So, but thanks for joining me and being a part of Northwest Book Talk.
Thank you so much, Patty. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in the Uptown Village neighborhood. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Furry Friends is a Vancouver, Washington 501c3 nonprofit, volunteer-run, no-kill cat rescue and adoption organization. If you would like to help save cats and kittens in the Vancouver-Portland area, there is a need for finances, goods, cat foster parents, volunteers, and adopters. Please visit their website for wish lists and other ways you can help at furryfriendswa.org. That's furryfriendswa.org.